From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, April 21st. Coming up, the closure of Lincoln College this spring underscores some of the challenges that small colleges and universities have faced in recent years. We'll hear from the president of Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Champaign's new police chief begins work in 6 weeks. City officials announced yesterday that State Police Officer Timothy Tyler will take over the job on June 6th. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
Tyler has spent 24 years with the Illinois State Police and currently heads up the Law Enforcement Office of the State Department of Natural Resources. He says one of his priorities as Champaign Police Chief will be to fill department vacancies that have hampered its ability to function.
This department has a long legacy of community-based policing, and we need to address our staffing issues so that we can get back to fully engaging with our residents, youth, neighborhoods, and business community members.
Tyler says he's also committed to addressing gun violence in Champaign by implementing the Community Gun Violence Reduction Blueprint passed by the City Council in February. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
It comes as University of Illinois campus police officers will take over patrols in the campus town area of Champaign by October. The new arrangement is to help Champaign police deal with a staffing shortage. Champaign City Manager Dorothy David says the campus town patrol area runs from Springfield Avenue south to Windsor Avenue and from Neal Street east to the city limit at Wright Street.
The first responder calls for patrol will be UIPD officers in that area, and it really is to help extend and have more resources for responding to calls across the city.
The Champaign City Council approved the police agreement with the university on Tuesday night. It's in effect for the next 2 years with an option for a third year. The city of Champaign will pay the UIPD to patrol campus town, allowing it to hire additional officers. The superintendent of the Champaign County Jail says that facility is under strain, and the strain stems from two factors. Superintendent Kerry Vogus says fewer inmates can be housed in some areas of the county's two jail facilities because of COVID-19 guidelines that limit capacity. Simultaneously, she says Champaign County has seen an uptick in crime.
You're taking what would be a normal housing unit that could hold up to possibly 27 people, and you're narrowing it down. It's no longer double capacity. You're now taking it to single capacity. So you immediately take away half of the space that you used to have.
Vogus says the jail's limited capacity creates problems for both inmates and staff. She says recently many inmates have been fighting. Until COVID guidelines for the Centers for Disease Control loosen and more space is available within the jail, Vogus says she does not have a good solution to the problems she's seeing. A rally is being held today to demand that Parkland College fire a former Champaign police chief from his teaching position. Former Chief R.T. Finney has been teaching classes in community policing since last fall, but he was also involved in an incident that led to the 2009 shooting death by a different officer of Kewan Carrington, a black 15-year-old. Alex Taylor is the unit lead for Champaign's CU Party for Socialism and Liberation.
By hiring people with the kind of background that Finney has, Parkland is effectively saying that they think it's okay to teach racial profiling and police brutality.
In a statement, Parkland officials say they're aware of the complaints and welcome any input that may improve the institution. The rally is scheduled to take place at 11:30 this morning at the college's main building. Still to come, a conversation with Illinois Wesleyan University President Georgia Nugent. She talks with Charlie Schlenker coming up next on 217 Today.
Jason Croft here, host of the Atomic Age Cocktail Party, and I'd like to think I know a thing or two about celebrating the past. And this year, WILL has a lot to celebrate as we mark 100 years on the air. Thank you for keeping us going strong. And as we look forward to the next 100 years, you can help us continue our tradition of great radio. Make your gift of support right now at willgive.org. And thanks.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The president of Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington says the closure of Lincoln College is an example of this challenging time in higher education. Georgia Nugent used to work at the Council of Independent Colleges that tracks issues facing largely private liberal arts colleges. 60 colleges have closed or consolidated since 2016, and Nugent tells Charlie Schlenker that number is significant but perhaps misleading.
Over about the last 50 years, I think, every year, about 10 colleges close. Actually, it's not that shocking. This has been a pattern for a long time. And colleges open every year. I do think that in the higher education national and federal data that we rely on does tend to lag by a year or two. And obviously a lot has been happening in the last year or two. But I think we're seeing a pretty consistent pattern. There was some data from, I believe I saw this in the National Clearinghouse data, showing a map of the United States and what college closures there have been. In recent years, from 0 to 9, the most in any state was about 9. Illinois, interestingly, is right up there. There are 17 states that have had no closures whatsoever. Illinois has had 6. So we're on the high end.
If enrollment is local, and if enrollment is the key variable for college success, then the Midwest must be taking it on the chin.
The Midwest is, yeah. Particularly in the Midwest, also in the Northeast. The demographics just show that the population that will be graduating from high school is going to decline pretty dramatically. And we're in the midst of that now. That decline will last probably until about 2029.
Since you're saying the closures have been largely steady, although pandemic-related data hasn't quite filtered into this mix yet, do you expect the pandemic to accelerate the closures or to weaken some institutions so that they will close down the road?
I would guess that we are going to see some more closures. One thing that has certainly increased in recent years is mergers, where one college is taken over by another. Some of them, quite surprising. For example, there was a small California college, Mills Northeastern in Boston, is taking it over. There are several widely disparate geographical institutions that are merging. And in a number of cases, you have more typical, a larger college in a region assuming a smaller college. That's been happening, for example, with some arts colleges taken over by more general colleges and so forth. So I think we'll see the merger trend increasing.
That'll save on administrative costs, but not necessarily infrastructure costs if you still want to have a footprint in a given campus. Community.
Right.
How much of a help are mergers?
I think it remains to be seen how they'll work. There have certainly been some that have been around now, say maybe 5 years or so, that have been fine. But I think we don't have enough of a track record yet to see exactly what will happen. You know, I think we are in a very fluid moment in higher education. And I think what none of us can predict with clarity yet is how the pivoting to online education that virtually everyone did, how that's going to affect the long term. You know, I think what we may end up seeing, Charlie, is not so much closure as transformation, that colleges which were never intending to go into online education in a very large way, I think many of those will begin to become more hybrid. I think we're seeing in our student population, many of them want to be on campus. They want to be in a residential institution, but at the same time, they love the flexibility that came with online learning. So I think what we're going to see is just a change in the delivery of education in colleges that remain open and remain residential.
Is online delivery expensive enough to put smaller institutions at a disadvantage as they work up that infrastructure?
Could be. It kind of depends on the level you're trying to obtain. You know, you can do a very simple delivery online. You and I are doing it now. Or you can have bells and whistles that are much more sophisticated. And some of that can be outsourced to companies that specialize in it, but for a relatively hefty fee. So we'll have to see how that goes.
That's Illinois Wesleyan University President Georgia Nugent. She spoke with Charlie Schlenker about the challenges facing small colleges and universities. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says skies will turn mostly sunny this afternoon with a high of 71 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Jim Meadows, Madison Holcomb, and Charlie Schlenker. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.